just what the world needed, another goddamn podcast.
You are my density. You are my density.
Hello. Welcome to the inaugural, I think that's right, episode of You Are My Density. My name is Mark D. I'm a psychiatric nurse. I used to edit TV commercials and do a little bit of acting, but more on that later. I am a Generation X, Reality Bites, and most of my references are slowly being lost into the dustbin of history. I find when I'm talking to people at work or in everyday life, most people don't know what the hell I'm talking about. So I figured I'd do a podcast for a few friends and any other people out there that are in similar shoes. A size 13 New Balance. So, You Are My Density. It's kind of a rip-off, take-off from Back to the Future. When Marty McFly, Michael J. Fox, comes back in time to find his father, George McFly, played by Crispin Glover, and Marty is coaching him to try and, you know, go talk to his future wife, Lorraine, played by Leah Thompson. You know, George is clueless with women. He's writing down notes. And so he walks over to Lorraine and just botches it. You know, he's like, I'm your density. And she's looking at him like, what the hell is this guy? So I've always kind of liked that line. And so I figure, what the hell? No one else had started a podcast called You Are My Density, so why not do it? Another great line from actually Back to the Future Part 2 is at the end when Doc comes back in the DeLorean and he sees Marty McFly and his girlfriend. And Doc is like, Marty, we've got to go. And Marty says, what, do we become assholes or something? I've always liked that line. If you ever want a great kind of under-the-radar Michael J. Fox movie, The Frighteners from 1996, directed by Peter Jackson, Lord of the Rings fame, it's great. Michael J. Fox can kind of communicate with the dead, and he uses that skill to kind of, you know, shirk people out of stuff. So it's a great movie. And another under-the-radar-ish movie with Michael J. Fox and James Woods, The Hard Way from 1991, directed by John Badham. Yeah, it's great. Michael J. Fox is an actor, and he teams up with James Woods, this tough cop, to kind of try and, you know, prepare for a role. But yeah, it's totally worth seeing. Now, going back to Crispin Glover, I actually saw Crispin Glover at the Viper Room in Los Angeles. Allen Ginsberg was doing a talk there, famous poet Allen Ginsberg. This was like the mid-90s or so. And I was just drunk as hell. So I saw Crispin Glover walking around the room, and I had just actually seen a book of his that he had written at Tower Books a week before that. And so when I saw him, I was like, Crispin, hey, I love your book. And he's just like, oh, thank you. I felt bad later on because I never really even looked at his book. I also saw Allen Ginsberg there in the bathroom. I went to take a pee, and he was washing his hands, and I think he looked over, checked me out a little bit, and was not impressed. Saw Timothy Leary walking around. I think I gave him the thumbs up, and he gave me a peace symbol or something. Looked like death. And I think he died, like, soon after. So, appropriate. Kind of the coolest thing, I was actually sitting in the back. This was at the height of the drunkenness. And this woman came over to me, kind of an older lady, had some style, seemed very cool. And she just kind of started talking to me, and I was saying all this stupid stuff, you know, oh, Alan's going to call me up on stage and I'm going to get naked. And she was just like, oh, okay. But she totally tolerated my idiocy, and it was very cool. And at one point somebody came up to her and was like, hey, do you want to sit up front? And she's like, no, I'm good. So I was like, huh, who is this person? Anyway, and so we said goodbye. She said, what's your name? And I was like, Mark. And then she kind of put her hand up my back briefly and tickled me, and it was just kind of weird. But cool. And so anyway, I went on my merry way, and I went to Brentano's bookstore like a week later, and I was looking around and I saw a book with her picture on it. I think it was called My Life, and it was Marianne Faithfull was the author. And she's kind of a legendary muse and a musician, kind of, you know, famously with the Rolling Stones, and just legendary figure. So I was just like, oh my God, you idiot. That was her, and you didn't even know it. But, you know, whatever. I was young and stupid, and now I'm old and stupid, and you know how it goes. So what will this podcast be about? Well, random stuff. movies, bands, vitamins, obsessions, but basically all things Stacey Keach, really. And again, most people don't even know who the hell Stacey Keach is these days. He has such a cool name, too, if you say it really quick. Stacey Keach. Stacey Keach. It sounds almost like some kind of traditional garb. He wore a Stacey Keach to the party. But anyway, he's a cool actor. He played TV's Mike Hammer. Also a great little movie I saw recently, Road Games from 1981, directed by Richard Franklin. And he's kind of a very literate truck driver driving around the Australian outback or whatever. Not the outback, but Australia. And there's a serial killer killing hitchhikers. And Jamie Lee Curtis is actually one of the hitchhikers, and he picks her up, and they kind of try and figure out who the murderer is. But it's pretty cool. It's not flawless, but it's a fun ride. And Richard Franklin, the director, actually directed Psycho 2 with Anthony Perkins, which actually is pretty damn cool. I mean, Psycho is, you know, a legendary movie. But Psycho 2 kind of holds up. I even like Psycho 3, which kind of is not so great, and Psycho 4, actually, I don't even mind. I think it was directed by Mick Garris, but it has Henry Thomas as, like, young Norman Bates, so it kind of flashes between present-day Anthony Perkins and then the past version played by Henry Thomas. It's kind of cool. It's only available on VHS, so it's kind of a pain in the ass to find, but anyway. And I'll probably do one episode at some point on Brian De Palma, but just for some reason coming to mind is Blowout. Early 80s John Travolta movie, which is, if anybody loves movies, you got to see this thing. It's a great thriller on top of just kind of being, you know, about movie making, kind of, because he's a sound mixer, kind of sound engineer, and John Lithgow is the villain, and it's just I recommend it to everyone possible. Rewinding to Stacey Keach really quick. There's another kind of random horror movie. It's an anthology made for TV called Body Bags from like 1993. John Carpenter and Toby Hooper are the directors on it. And Stacey Keach, he's in, the, I think, the middle segment. And he's basically this guy whose hair is, he's starting to lose his hair. He's going bald and he's just obsessed with it. And he keeps trying different things and, you know, ink to put it on or ways to comb it. And his girlfriend, played by hot Sheena Easton, she just is like, she loves him for who he is, but he just like is obsessed. And he goes to see this doctor played by David Warner. And it's like a experimental thing. And he just all of a sudden gets like all this hair. I mean, long, ridiculous, like ridiculous hair starts growing everywhere. And so it's totally fun. It's totally worth watching. The other segments are also cool. The first one is with Robert Carradine and, David Naughton from American Werewolf in London has a small role. And the last segment is with Mark Hamill. But yeah, that's worth checking out. So briefly back to the Viper Room. Of course, famously is the location where River Phoenix died. And a lot of people have seen this, but the anagram of his name, Viper Heroin X, it's weird. I mean, I don't believe in, you know, signs or weird things, but it is kind of weird. A great movie it doesn't get mentioned that much these days is Running on Empty, directed by Sidney Lumet with Judd Hirsch and Christine Lottie. It's kind of they used to be radicals and they're running from the government because they're still, you know, there's still charges against them. And River Phoenix is the son, and just he has a great performance in the ending. It's just really touching where he basically is saying goodbye to his parents because he has to, like, you know, go live his own life. But totally worth a watch. And his last kind of completed movie, That Thing You Do, directed by Peter Bogdanovich, it's a mess. He's a country western singer, and you can just tell he's dealing with something. His performance, it's totally, like, weirdly altered. When he walks around or does any kind of movements, it's just like you can tell he's, like, drugged or coming off of a drug or anything. I don't know if any of you have experienced this. I have read about it, that while on drugs or coming down from something, you know, you just kind of, when you're walking around in public, you don't even know what's normal. Like you're looking around like, oh God, if there's someone near you, am I walking normal? And your just movements become odd. Like, what am I supposed to be doing here when I reach for this? Or if I wave Or worst of all, if you have to talk to someone, that's the absolute worst thing. You have to get the hell out of there if that happens. But yeah, you can just tell he's dealing with something, and it's like he doesn't have that spark. He doesn't have that like instinct. It's all kind of being muddled by the drugs, which sucks. But, you know, hey, there you go. As you can probably tell, this podcast will kind of veer from topic to topic, but I always have been like fascinated by movies and Hollywood and autographs, and I used to write for autographs when I was 7 years old. I wanted to go to film school, thought I wanted to be a director, and probably the happiest moments of my life is when I would go to my grandma's house in the 80s and video stores were popular, and I would just rent, you know, 5 or 6 movies a night and stay at her place for 3 or 4 nights. And I would look at the movies. Most movies then were like 90 minutes or 2 hours, occasionally 2.5 hours, sometimes like 1:45, 1 hour 45. So I would just go and basically look at the movies and, okay, this one is 90 minutes. So that's, you know, 5 to 6:30. This is 2 hours, 6:30 to 8:30. This one is 2 hours, 8:30 to 10:30. This one is 90 minutes, blah, blah, blah. And just figure out the night, because I would just put one in after the other. There'd be no break time. I would pee and then come back, sit down and watch movies. And that's where I kind of got my education on movies. And it still is just one of my favorite, you know, parts of life, was just going to a video store and we're looking around and just like, not, oh, what's this? What's this? You know? Yeah. Amazing. So I did end up going to film school, in Los Angeles. You know, I was okay. I wasn't any kind of sensation or anything. I was pretty immature, and it was just, you know, it was a good experience though. And after I graduated, I was at a party on Bundy Drive, actually just a few steps away from where Nicole Simpson got killed. And I was playing guitar in a room, and somebody walked in, this guy's girlfriend, now wife, but at the time was his girlfriend. She went to the same film school, and he was like, hey, what are you doing? And I'm like, I don't know. I just graduated. He's like, you want to maybe work at this editorial place? And I was like, sure. Yeah. I mean, why not? So I went and interviewed, got the job, and, started at the very bottom, the bottom level of the company, figuratively and literally. It was on the bottom floor. The vault, I was a runner. So I basically would just run, you know, drop off stuff, pick up stuff, blah, blah, blah. And the first week I was there, somebody had said, oh, Mark, you know, can you go out and clean some shit out from the front? And I said, okay, you know, probably, you know, some garbage and stuff like that. But no, it was literal shit. There was, you know, a homeless guy or something had shit there, which, hey, I don't begrudge anyone for that. If you don't have a place to go to the bathroom, please do it in front of a building on Sunset. Do it anywhere. I mean, I totally have sympathy for that. And so I got like 2 FedEx envelope things and kind of brought them together in the middle to get the shit. I thought a pretty innovative way of getting it, and it was pretty successful. I mean, I cleared it off. So yeah, that was my welcome to Hollywood. Kind of flashing back to Blowout, I did get a chance to see Brian De Palma at the editorial place I worked at, because he had directed Mission Impossible, and we were cutting like the intro to the opening credits of the movie. But yeah, Hollywood is it's a weird place. I love Los Angeles. Now I'm up in Northern California, but I do love LA. And Hollywood, it's seedy and it's awesome. And it's just, it's such a weird area. And there's a great, it's actually online now, but Ed Ruscha, I'm not sure how you say his name. He's an artist, but he would drive I think he was driving a truck with a camera mounted on it. And he went kind of up and down Sunset Boulevard. And recorded it in different like years, like 2 years later or 1 year later. And so it's pretty cool, both sides of the street. It's called 12 Sunsets. You can find it online, and you can just kind of, you basically can just flip, you know, flip through Sunset, click on this, and it's like, oh, that's when it was 1980, or then click it 1982, and you can just go up and down the boulevard. So pretty cool. And then speaking of like seedy places, just one of my, not favorite, but there's a house in West Los Angeles, just kind of above the freeway there. It's just a weird street, a kind of a seedy, not a seedy area, but it just has a weird vibe. And the house doesn't have many windows, and it's just a weird place, but that's where Dorothy Stratton, the Playboy playmate and actress, got killed by her psycho, you know, loser boyfriend, Paul Snyder. He met her in Canada and, you know, knew she was pretty and kind of, you know, they sent pictures out to L.A. She got brought out to L.A., got in Playboy, met Peter Bogdanovich, became famous and started doing some movies and stuff. And then, you know, he got jealous and eventually he, you know, I think he owed her some money and he was like, hey, just let's call it quits. Come on over to the house I'm renting. I'll give you the money. And then he ended up actually killing her. And just some gory details, you know, it was just a messy killing and supposedly maybe he's had some sex post-mortem, but yeah, just a turd of a man. Dorothy Stratton is actually buried in the Pierce Brothers Memorial Cemetery in Westwood, which is an amazing place. It's very small, but it's just chock full of celebrities, which I'll get into on another podcast. There's a movie about the whole thing called Star 80, directed by Bob Fosse. And it's got Eric Roberts in it and Mariel Hemingway, Cliff Robertson as Hugh Hefner. It's not an amazing movie, but it's worth a watch. And I kind of prefer All That Jazz by Bob Fosse. Well, I don't really prefer the movie. There's like one scene I love where Roy Scheider is kind of playing a version of Bob Fosse who, you know, would take amphetamines, Benzedrine and whatnot, you know, after an evening and he'd wake up and that was his thing, pop some Benzedrines. And anyway, in the movie, Roy Scheider looks in the mirror after he takes the pills and he's like, it's showtime, folks. I sometimes will do that like after a rough night or whatever, or just, you know, when I'm not feeling inspired in the morning, I'll look in the mirror and say that. And it doesn't really help, but hey, what are you gonna do? And this is my obviously first recording for this podcast. So I am set up in this little great innovative sound studio in Sunnyvale, California. I'm just kidding. I'm in my teeny apartment. I'm literally on the floor just because I don't really have this much stuff here yet. And I don't even have a proper bed. I bought some Japanese floor mattress because I just moved here and I had just been moving a lot and I just didn't have the energy to buy an actual bed and a sofa and all that stuff. I was like, I can't do it. So I've got this weird, you know, thing that's sitting on the ground. I actually been sleeping good on it, but it's like, it looks ridiculous. And not that I have been getting laid in any ways recently, but this really, no woman could come in here. It's like, it looks ridiculous. So I do need to get rid of that and get a bed at some point. But anyway, so I'm literally on the ground sitting here. I hope it's, you know, the recording is decent enough. The content may be garbage, but hopefully it sounds okay. And while we're on the topic of nothing, I saw, like, maybe a few months ago, I saw this movie, Sister, Sister. It's 1987, directed by Bill Condon, Eric Stoltz, and Jennifer Jason Leigh. It's this weird southern kind of, not really horror, but yeah, kind of gothic horror. They run a little, like, you know, hotel room and board thing. The Jennifer Jason Leigh is, like, mentally ill, and Judith Ivy is her sister, and it's just, I was kind of on coming down from mushrooms when I saw it, but it was, I thought, amazing, and it's, like, creepy. Available to rent somewhere. But anyway, Sister, Sister, yeah, check that out. And speaking of altered states, being in an altered state, not Altered States the movie, the Ken Russell movie with William Hurt, which is pretty interesting. I actually rented it, and then I think I fell asleep, and then 2 days later, I wanted to watch it, and the rental was dead. So I need to rent it again. But me and my friend, I will call him JB, we were stoned maybe a few months ago and driving around LA, kind of West LA. And we were, you know, at a little intersection, stopped, and then this car kind of passed by us, almost like, I mean, because we were stoned, it seemed like it, but it was like, it was kind of slow-mo, and the lighting was perfect on the passenger in the passenger seat. And this guy was looking at us straight on, and I was like, is that fucking Bruce Willis? And my friend, JB, who really gets stoned, he was like, what? You know, he was like totally out of it. And I was like, I think that was Bruce Willis. And so we kind of went drove behind them, and then it was like perfect. There was this intersection. They were at a stoplight, and I could go in the lane on the right, and I slowly, dramatically pull up, and then I look over. My window's rolled down, and it's him. It's Bruce Willis. He's looking at me kind of quizzically. Obviously, he's going through a lot. Even in his state, he was like, oh, this guy is stoned. But I was looking at him just kind of mouth agape. I didn't say anything. Probably best, you know, I didn't want to confuse him or just add any crap to his day. But yeah, I mean, seeing Bruce Willis, that is just, that was massive. He was like, I grew up with him. And in LA, you know, if you live in LA, it's like a lot of times I'm trying to spot people, celebrities and stuff. And I no longer am in LA, but anyway, you know, a lot of times you thought you saw a celebrity, you'd be like, oh, is that, you know, Margot Kidder? Oh, random reference, sorry. Or, you know, whatever, Greta Gerwig, to be more contemporary. And it's just, you know, when they turn around, it's like, oh, God, totally off. It's like, is that Justin Timberlake? No, that's a woman. Okay, that's wrong. But yeah, I mean, when you see a real one and a legit one like Bruce Willis, that's like, wow. And I, you know, hope things are going better for him. I know it's a bad situation. But yeah, and speaking of Bruce Willis movies, if you've never seen The Last Boy Scout, it's a must-see. It was written by Shane Black, and it's with Bruce Willis, Damon Wayans. Halle Berry has kind of a small role, but yeah, it's great. Amazing dialogue, and also another Shane Black movie while we're on the topic. The Long Kiss Goodnight with Gina Davis, and yeah, that's amazing. Totally worth seeing. Please watch it ASAP. And I think I'm going to start winding this one down for a first episode. Don't want to talk too much. And plus, I'm going to keep these things short. Who the hell wants to listen to me for more than 20, 25 minutes? Just, I recently was thinking about, like, you know, greatest moments of recent history. And I think two that stand out for me are, and I know it's a big, it's so popular, but the A Mega Pint with Johnny Depp. That is amazing. That is a classic bit. And it's like when you see him say that, you know, that smile, that devilish grin, A Mega Pint. It's like, you know, he's kind of been through the ringer, somewhat looks like hell. But you see that charming bastard in there when he's smiling and he's a mega pint, you know. As I've gotten older, I've relied on mega pints occasionally, even super big gulps of wine to get me through the day or night. Yeah, it's funny. When I was a kid, I would watch a movie, like a Humphrey Bogart movie or something. It's like somebody would go into a restaurant and say, God, I need a drink. Or go into a bar, I need a drink right now. And I would always be like, how's that? That's not possible, you know. You don't need the drink. Now when I go to dinner, it's like if I don't have a martini by me within 5 minutes, I start shaking and just get very anxious. And the other classic moment, I think, is the legendary Charlie Sheen during his winning phase. Yeah, I mean, clearly he was not winning, but it's just the commitment, the intensity is like the passion when he's saying that. It's like, winning, yes. You know, it's like, it's infectious. You know, he's excitable and just into it. He's coked out of his mind, yes. But yeah, the energy, dude. Oh, even though it's ridiculous, it's just, are you, do you think you're bipolar? I'm by winning. I win here, I win there. That's amazing. Just having passion for something, even if it's totally wrong, there's something, you know, there's something to that. So as we say goodbye on this episode, whenever I say goodbye and whenever anyone says goodbye, everyone thinks, of course, of one of the final scenes of 1973's Bang the Drum Slowly. I have an underrated, underseen baseball movie with Michael Moriarty and Robert De Niro. Robert De Niro is kind of this kind of simpleton, you know, second-rate catcher on a major league team, and Michael Moriarty is one of the stars of the team. And it's a sad little movie, but at the end, we find out Robert De Niro is dying, He basically is leaving the team because he's starting to deteriorate. And they're saying goodbye at the airport. And Robert De Niro is kind of, you know, he's like saying, I'll see ya. And he kind of says it several times, like, I'll be back. I'll see ya. And you know that's it. You know that's the end of the of him. He's going to die soon after. He's not going to see him again. Michael Moriarty almost can't even, he doesn't even respond because he knows he's not going to see him again. And that's always stuck with me, that little bit. It's well acted, but also just, you know, there's, when you're saying goodbye to someone and you know that's it, when you know that's the last time, there's like, you almost like don't want to go. You don't want to, you know, if it's, even if it's with girls or something or whatever, when you're breaking up or when you know something is going to end a relationship, but you still, in your head, you're like, yeah, maybe there's another chance or something, but your heart knows this is it. So I don't know, just, I thought they captured that kind of moment like really well. And the theme song is just like, I love it. It's like, da 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 da. It's not very well known, but check it out sometime if you're into that type of thing. Baseball movies from 1973. There's a huge audience for those, I know. So anyway, I think it's time that we say goodbye on this episode. And until next time, I'll see ya.